Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
When I hear that Luke story, I'm convinced that part of it got lost. That there's a section that somewhere over all the years of the oral and translated and passed down somehow fell out of disuse. And it's right after the angels make their big pronouncement that I think the shepherds went, "You mean us? You want us to do what?"
Yeah.
Because what they're asked to do is a very dangerous thing. They're asked to go looking for the Messiah, when in Jerusalem there was a guy named Herod who kind of thought he was the Messiah. And if you know anything about history, Herod was a very, very flamboyant character who did some big projects, and there's some famous archaeological sites still connected to him. But he had an ego that wouldn't quit. He liked people that praised him, and he had a tendency to get rid of people that didn't say what he wanted to hear. In fact, the old joke, which doesn't translate perfectly, but I'll try to get it best from the Hebrew, was it was better to be Herod's sow, his pig, than to be his son, because none of his sons lived to maturity. That's how Herod was about things. So these guys go trampling down into the little city, the bumpkins from up in the hillside, into the city of Bethlehem, and suddenly start talking about a Savior is born. Yeah, that would be a little dangerous, wouldn't it? And they had reason to be fearful. Keep in mind, these events did not happen in happy times. Jerusalem and all of Judea and the surrounding area was under occupation. They were a conquered people. As I mentioned in Sunday's sermon talking about Mary, there's a reason there were so many Marys in the gospel stories. Because the term Mary means literally bitter. And so it was a sort of a revolt. The women of Judea tended to name their children, their daughters at that time, Mary, to explain their bitterness at being an occupied people. It wasn't a good time to go traipsing around into a town and suddenly talking about a Messiah and an angel singing to you. You know, sort of like, you know, the scene in the field with the field of dreams. If you hear voices, you're going crazy. Well, the shepherds had good reason to do that. They lived in a difficult time. What they were being asked to do was, and beside, they probably didn't really want to get involved. Because in a lot of time, not unlike our own, they had been bombarded with a series of events. You know, a series of events that had happened. That it probably was better to be a shepherd up in the fields than to be down in the city where the Romans and the Jewish supporters were about gearing up for a war in a few years in which Jerusalem would be destroyed. Burned to the ground. This coming Messiah was leading to a time of tension and anguish. Man, just kind of hide up in the fields, you know, and take it easy. What do you mean you want us to get up and go? No directions? You never send men on a mission without directions, trust me. We'll wander for 40 years in the wilderness before we're asked the way. I'm surprised they ever found the child. You know, think about it. And it would have been frightful to keep just going around the city and say, "Hey, I'm looking for a baby wrapped in cloths who's the king. Can you tell me where to find him?" Get an image of what we're talking about here. They were afraid, and they had good reason to be afraid. But isn't it interesting? Isn't it interesting that those people who were afraid, and rightfully so, were spoken to by angels? That's who the angels chose to go with their message. Didn't go to the palace. Didn't go to whoever was writing the history books, like Josephus, a famous character who wrote a lot of the history of that period. Went to the shepherds, who were frightened and hiding out. Why? I've pondered that. And I'll tell you why I think it's true. You have your own ability to read and think about things. It is because the messages of God always come throughout the story of Scripture to people in need who are frightened and unsure where to go. The world starts in darkness, chaos, in the first book of Genesis. Abraham is told to leave behind his comfortable, nice living in earth and go to the place where demons dwell, out in the wilderness, without directions and again, without certainty. Twice along the way, he has to pretend his wife is his sister so he doesn't get in trouble with the Pharaoh and some of his journey. It was a dangerous thing to do. Moses runs away from killing someone and tries to get out of coming back again that he claims he stutters and doesn't speak well. Because he knows it's dangerous to suddenly go before the Pharaoh and try to tell the Pharaoh, let my people go. David does wondrous things, gets in trouble when he lets his self-worth get too big for himself and has an affair. And the world crumbles around him. And it is in those moments that the prophet comes to him with God's blessings and forgiveness, as painful as the experience may be. And in the New Testament, we come again to another dark period, and there are many between them. Far too many, because you don't want to be here till midnight hearing me talk about the Old Testament and New Testament. But trust me, Jesus' birth is in darkness. His death is in darkness. His resurrection is in darkness. Because God knows that we're afraid at times in life. We're kind of going through one of those periods now. At least strikes me that way. In which we've just been hit with so much. COVID. You know, insurrections. Arguing and bickering about everything going on around us. We're uncertain about whether we'll have sports events, whether we'll have places to go to. Who knows? And it's really easy to go from being really in a dangerous situation to being overwhelmed with danger. It goes from what we call in medical terms, from something that is acute, that is, it's actual and really happening, to something that is chronic, that is, where the fear of it paralyzes you. And that, I believe, is where the shepherds were on that night. When the angels first stuck to them, they were frozen. By fear and the fear of fear. But it is to them, and it is among them, that their shepherds out in the fields, frightened as they might be, uncertain about where to go and what to do, that the angels sing to them and tell them good news of hope and mercy and guidance along the way. Now notice, it doesn't promise the shepherds that their mission is going to be successful. It doesn't promise them that their lives are going to be great and they're all going to get wealthy or anything. That kind of promise is nowhere in Scripture. The promise is that even among our darkest hours, and especially among our most uncertain times along the way, that is when the light of God is shining. That's why for me, Christmas has always been an act of rebellion. When you throw your lights on your tree, and you string those lights across the outside of your house, you're really declaring to this uncaring world around us that you will not be paralyzed in fear. That you have hope. And that hope is rooted not in what you can do, which is where David got in trouble, by the way, but what God can do through us. See, we don't have to have the answers. We don't have to know exactly how to go forward. All the gospel calls us to do is to pick up our feet and go look for Christ. But don't look for him in the palaces. Don't look for him in the bright and easy places. Go into the shadows and the darkness. Because Scripture reminds us among those who are most needy, the most frightened, the most unsure, God always makes himself present. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, who you heard me talk about a lot if you've been around here, wrote a famous poem. He was in a Gestapo prison in Berlin. He knew that eventually his part in the plot to kill Hitler was going to come to light. And he was not going to make it through the war. He tried to keep up a brave front. But he was frightened. And he wrote sometime, am I who people perceive me to be? Sort of like an unofficial chaplain in the prison. Or am I really as I see myself? A weak, uncertain, fearful. He says, am I one or the other? Am I like an army running from a victory already won, but not realizing that God's victory has come? I don't know, he said, but I know, oh God, I am yours. This is the message to the shepherds. The message that I'd like us to hear at Christmas. Christmas is not perfect. Christmas is not just about memories of the past. All those are good things. Don't get me wrong. I have lots of traditions. Ask my wife about Christmas. But it's most about remembering. Remembering that the light comes in the darkness. And the light comes to all of us when we're not sure of the path. And the light comes to shepherds on the hillside. And it does. You won't have all the answers. You don't know exactly even sometimes where to go. But don't be paralyzed by fear. Pick up your feet and walk. For the God of light has come among us. And like Bonhoeffer, you and I are God's. own people. Merry Christmas. Amen.
Amen.